The 2013 Jazz Eureka Festival is scheduled for this weekend and will feature Spyro Gyra as the headline act. The jazz fusion band formed in the mid-1970s and will perform Saturday night at the auditorium in Eureka Springs. Jay Bekenstein, one of the founders of the band, recently spoke to Robert Ginsberg, host of Shades of Jazz on KUAF. Through the years, the band has performed more than 5,000 shows and sold more than 10 million CDs and LPs. During their conversation, Robert discussed the band's personnel changes and asked Jay if the core philosophy of Spyro Gyra has remained the same.
In a broad sense, yes. I think that the band has always kind of stood for letting the people that are in it play the music they really want to play in the manner they really want to play it. In other words, being around for 35 years, we've gotten away with murder. Being ourselves. I mean, it's been an incredible blessing that we've gotten away with it. And so our MO was always to do what we wanted, and it's still there.
It strikes me that you and your group have helped create an entirely new genre of music in some ways. And, you know, the moniker of smooth jazz has a lot of different connotations to different people. But what strikes me is several things. One is that the creative drive that you brought to bear when you started making music wasn't about commercialism or genre creating. It was really about what you wanted to play.
It was also about a natural continuum. The time that I was a teenager kind of programming music into my head was a time when I got to listen to a lot of really great jazz musicians and also a lot of great R&B and Latin musicians as well. It was a very rich period. I was a teenager in the 60s. So the music I made was just a continuum of the music previous to me that I was hearing that inspired, and I was just hopping on the bandwagon. I love those musics. I combined them in a way, or we combined them in a way that seemed very natural to us and was really fun to do, and that's all it was. I wasn't trying to create a genre. I was just trying to be on, you know, one of many on a long timeline of people influencing people.
I gather there was plenty of music in your house when you were growing up. I read that your mother was an opera singer. Is that right?
My mom was a very good classical singer, really wonderful singer with an enormous range.
And your dad was a jazz aficionado and a record collector.
My father played really good boogie-woogie piano, and he played clarinet. So it wasn't that he just didn't do it, for his daily bread. He did it out of love. But bigger than any of that, you know, between my mother introducing me to things like Stravinsky's Rite of Spring and Rhapsody in Blue and my father turning me on to Charlie Parker and Miles Davis, that was a pretty rich upbringing for a little kid.
There's an amusing story about how the band name came about. Would you share that with us?
Yeah, back to that club we were in on, it was a sign out front that flashed jazz every Tuesday night, and the place was actually called Jack Daniels, which coincidentally was what we always would imbibe there. And we were pretty late in the night, and I was pretty deep into the Jack, and the club owner, business was kind of going okay, and the club owner said, you know, you guys really need a name, and he was very adamant about it. And said, you know, if you don't come up with a name, I'll get somebody else, something like that. And I remember this algae I studied in high school came to my mind through my bleary mind, out came Spyro Gyra. And he misspelled it on the sign the next week, and that was it ever since.
So based on an algae that grows in the ocean, right?
I think it's actually kind of fresh water. It's basically, a long filamental algae that grows in ponds and streams.
Oh, okay, I see. Well, the name...
Grow in your pool if you don't take care of it.
Okay. Well, it's served you well, I think, at this point, it's iconic.
Yeah. And something served us well. Certainly as the days went on and we needed to copyright the name and stuff like that, but nobody had taken it. So we were good. It was unique. But really, I remember being out when success first started hitting us with record sales. It was such a shocker. I mean, nobody had planned for it at all. And I do remember sitting there going, I cannot believe that for who knows how many years I'm going to be stuck with the name Spyro Giant. And really kind of regretting that I had been, whatever, I hadn't thought about it more. And in fact, that I hadn't come up with some kind of cool name like the San Francisco Jazz Collective that had some kind of gravitas to it.
Oh, but that's so boring. There's so many collectives.
Well, I was very pretentious. So anyway... By the third year, I'm starting to go, this name really represents what we do. It's really energetic, and the name sounds like motion. And the Iranian cab driver in New York remembered it. So, I'm happy with it these days. It's a silly name, but it has indeed, as you said, served us well.
You're going to be performing, I believe this is probably your first time in Eureka Springs. You performed in Fayetteville. We were talking about this a little bit earlier at the University of Arkansas. I saw you there. It was probably the mid to late 80s because Dave Samuels was still in the band. And I want to put it in the late 80s. But I don't think you've ever performed in Eureka Springs, and you're going to be performing in this historic auditorium. It's called The Auditorium. So... And you guys are still touring quite a bit. On the average, how many dates are you doing a year now?
60, 70.
Mm-hmm.
It depends. We really are. If the quality of people in my band is so high that if we weren't working enough, other people they'd be playing with others. We have to keep working. It's one of the things that keeps the band together, that we're able to, support ourselves with this band and don't have to be mercenaries
right.
all the time,
right?
Like many.
Are there new frontiers you're still trying to explore?
Yeah, but they mostly have to do with raising my kids.
You don't have to explore those. They're gonna jump down your throat, I think.
I think you're right about that. It's forced exploration. I'm locking the Arctic on my exploration. Uh-huh. Musically speaking, I hope so. I know that, speaking for myself, and I don't even know if this is a new thing. I think one of the early parts of the Spyro thing that has maybe disappeared a little bit over the 30 years is a connection the band had to Brazil and Brazilian music. And I'm sort of thinking personally, maybe I might go down to Brazil and do a Brazilian record myself. As for the next Spyro record, we have one coming out in September. It's a really great record. So what Spyro's going to do next isn't the first thing on my mind right now. We're actually in rest mode.
I see.
Because we're just getting ready to put out a record.
Once again, thank you so much for taking the time.
Really my pleasure, and we so look forward to playing in Arkansas. It's been too long.
It has been. It's been way too long. Thank you, Jay.
That was Jay Beckenstein, a member of the jazz fusion band Spyro Gyra, speaking to Robert Ginsberg, who hosts Shades of Jazz every Friday and Saturday night at 10 here on KUAF. Spyro Gyra will perform at 7:30 Saturday night at the Auditorium in Eureka Springs as part of the 2013 Jazz Eureka Festival. More information is available at jazzeureka.org.